Hello and welcome to Infamous, the audio podcast. This is Brandon, or Mutilus on Discord.
This is Parker, go by One Who Parks on Discord.
This is Jeremy, just Jeremy on the Discords.
And this is Aaron, I go by Treffenwood.
We got it. He said something. He's in. He's podcasting.
I told you he'd come. Here he is. There he is.
Parker, I know you've been very excited for today, and I just want to point out that you just dropped all the balls.
Why? What?
You just said your name wrong.
Oh, no. It's going to come back. I understand. Is it?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I feel like that was your one opportunity. Now we're going to just move on.
Well, no, it's not the one opportunity. We have news, and that's my opportunity.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Okay, I guess
we'll So, quick announcements. Let's see here. Infamous Studios is officially up and swinging. You can check the link in the show notes. Also, our partner links. And with that, we're going to move into currently playing.
Really?
So, currently
playing. That's an interesting choice.
Let's see.
Interesting choice to go to that.
Jeremy, what? I think you were talking about what you were going to play at Squad Goals.
I don't think he was.
You want to talk about that?
I don't think he was.
No, we were talking about it in private message.
I think news was actually the next thing.
Oh,
I don't think that's correct.
That surprises me because there is news.
Is there? Is there really?
Yes.
All right, fine. I guess just this one time.
Okay.
You have to say it, though.
It's news time.
Hey, news, 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 news.
We've never once said that.
It's let's news. Is that the phrase?
Let's news. You're supposed to say, I've got news, I've got
news. Is that his new catchphrase? Let's news.
And with that, catchphrase. I'm news. And you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Fuck you, San Francisco.
Go fuck yourself, San Diego. Yeah. I would accept any of the following. But it's news is not the okay, just fucking go.
Okay. So, you could say a very important, momentous, incredible, even perhaps shocking information came out. The Shocker has his card.
The Super Shocker.
Yeah. And he does so many things. We could talk about all the things, but the thing that he doesn't do is shock. And I just wanted to take a moment to thank AMG for their adherence to canon. It's important to them, clearly. That their characters feel.
Sorry, what like they damage do from the type comics. Is Cyclops' beam, real quick? Can you just explain that to me?
It's important to them, clearly, that their characters are canon. And the fact that his primary attack is a physical attack and it does not shock makes me so happy. Thank you,
AMG.
Can I
tell you a quick story, Parker?
Mm-hmm.
So I was hanging out and watching some of the games in Contest Champions, and you were playing Aaron. You had just finished your game against Aaron for third place in COC. Mm-hmm. And Pagani came over and he's like, so did Parker get it? And I said, no, looks like Aaron got it. So I think Parker's gonna slide down to fourth. He goes, oh, don't worry, he's got a win coming. And then he walked away. So I just want to let you know that happened. I'm not going to put it past them that they hate me so much that they made this change after hearing the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Anyone out there, Angels, Will Pagani, anybody who works at AMG. I don't care if you listen to my prayer or if you just care very much about the Shocker, but the Shocker doesn't shock, which I am the only one who was not shocked because it shouldn't be. He does have a cool passive, though, where he does.
That's cause... literally better than shock.
Yeah, it's literally better than shock. It's shock without shock within
it's
range.
It's shock that stacks with shock and is unshakable.
Yeah. So it's still, he is a cool character.
It is without fathom.
Unfathomable.
Unfathomable.
Without fathom. Yeah.
What does that mean? It means without fathom.
Without fathom. He does cause stun and stagger on wilds. He's cool.
Stun, stagger, and super shock. Boy's got it all.
Yeah.
Okay, is there anything else we wanted to mention while we were on it?
I mean, do we want to do like an actual review of the character with the card?
We can, if that's what you guys want.
I do want to know what Aaron thinks. What does Aaron think?
I'm thumbs down on Herman Schultz.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. 10 health, and he does literally nothing other than try to get within two of someone to debuff them. Like, God, no. I don't know. I don't see any reason why I would take this character, except for the fact that spider foes are hurting at the three threat a little bit. And I don't even know that he breaks the top three.
I mean, they definitely have two, three threats better than this fucking guy. he is not the worst model. He's just not impressive, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the problem. Like, he's got a mediocre spender. He's got an okay builder. He's got a very meh reactive power and a good passive. That's about it.
He has a good passive. Yeah, everything you said, except I think his spender is actually not great. It has stagger, but 4 power on a character that's not going to gain power very well. Like, 0 action economy. I don't know. Again,
I could be wrong, but I could see a line of play that's kind of interesting. So if you jam like him and Lizard on a flank and they're holding like a D, and so like they're trying to punch through him and Lizard while punching through his like disruption aura, and then like you play Neogenic Recombinator to pull the damage off of Shocker and put it on Lizard after they've been trying to punch through Shocker the whole time, and then Lizard heals a bunch of it off and then just stands there, and it's like it's an interesting tar pit. But I don't know what it does other than be a mediocrely good 6-point tar pit. Like, you could just play good 3-point models, and it's got to be better.
I agree. I mean, I think you play him with the bodyguard, all of a sudden. Like, he's providing the -1 and then not dying. But again, all he's doing is helping the tar pit, like you said.
When is your power going to keep up with her? It's trying to survive infinite attacks is never a good idea, obviously.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I don't see it working. I think it would be cool. Well, actually, now I'm thinking about putting him with Mysterio, and that actually sounds fucking annoying.
I think there is
Grand Illusion plus this. It's like, literally, don't bother.
I think there is a point at which you there might be a critical mass of like these negative effects, right? We're talking about like Crimson Dynamo plus this guy. So now you're talking about like Shock plus the -2 plus Crimson Dynamo's roll. Like, if you put that 7 points on a E deployment, right? That's going to be hard for them to fight in the middle. They can't rely upon their dice to get power. So if they have anybody who's like, I need to roll attack dice to get my power to start my train rolling, that's going to be hard with that combo. But then, of course, you're spending 7 power to just deny your opponent to get their own power easily and deny the attack dice, which isn't necessarily a winning strategy unless you have some winning strategy that goes along
with it. I do agree with you that it makes it to where they can't rely on dealing damage to gain power.
Right.
But a lot of lists don't need to rely on it, and just because they can't rely on it doesn't mean it won't happen. True. Like, they're going to get damage through. It's just going to be, like you said, unreliable. Right. Well, it turns out if, like, they just have Steelers, they're just going to take your shit and run away, and your tar pit models that don't do much are completely worthless in that game.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason these models don't see play right now, and it's because the meta is completely toxic with extract stealers. And so until they address that, models like this are, in my opinion, completely worthless.
I won't go that far, but go ahead.
I mean, can you say that somebody would put this model on the table in a competitive meta?
No, that's why
currently.
No, not at all. But
I think you could, if you like Shocker or you just like Spider Foes and you want to put them on the table, nothing's going to stop you, but you shouldn't expect to be able to compete against what is currently considered good lists because they're exploiting the scenario game in a way that these models can't.
I think attrition still has a place in the meta. I think scenario is stronger, but it's not auto win. And there are a lot of attrition lists out there that you would like to have some anti-attrition for. He could be your researcher specialist, kind of like Parker saying. However, like when I am playing against a dynamo, I usually have someone who's going to displace that. Like if I just run straight first into a Steve 1 Dynamo Shocker bubble, then I deserve to lose that game. Like, right. I need to have some displacement that's going to, you know, throw Dynamo away, pull Shocker toward me, or action economy to like miles places outside of 2 of Shocker, you know, and outside of 3 of Dynamo, right? So I should have the tools to deal with that bubble because it's not a proactive play style, right? You're placing Dynamo and Shocker here and you're hoping I just run into you. Like, who's going to do that? Mm-hmm. Hopefully no one. So anyway, that's why I think I'm down on him. Not because he doesn't have a place, but because I don't think the place that he's at is very good, even into a nutrition list.
I think even with that example you gave, like, it's not like you're going to go score the researcher on their side because none of those models have action economy or mobility. And so I guess Dynamo has a little bit of mobility, but like you said, it's not going to do anything other than maybe die really, really slowly. And that's probably not going to push you through to a victory. But if you do luckily get researcher, you can hold on a lot longer than you normally would be able to.
There is one scenario play I see him for. He is potentially a criminal, high potential to be a criminal. He's one more kind of stone on that kingpin potato stack. I don't know if he needs more stones, but more models that just live longer, more models that just sit on a point and not die. Like we said, die slower. If dying slower is a kingpin win condition, then he does fit into that win condition. But
I don't actually know. Is he noticeably better than taking crossbones?
5 health, minus 1 attack die, plus 2 defense dice. He's got 4-3-3. It's
I think has aggressive, has damage reduction. Like, that's, he already has one more hit point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's, I think crossbones has more staying power. Now, obviously, everything else about Shocker is better.
Yeah. Also, Shocker does have the ability to, if he gains some power, he can stagger the guy and move away. He has movement medium, so he can,
he can try and stagger the guy.
Yeah. He can. I guess there's potential there, is what I'm saying. Like, there are...
crossbones do... He, like, throws, doesn't he?
I think he throws.
The Spender throws. Size 2, yeah. I think. Now, Shocker will, I think, be a pseudo-bodyguard. And by pseudo, I mean, let's say I've got Shocker and my Extract Holder sitting on a point. Well, you want to go after the Extract Holder. But if you do that, Shocker is going to apply his if the ground is rocking negative, if I can set it up, right? So there's some value there. I'm not saying that the model is absolute dog shit. I just don't think he's competitively super playable. We shall find out.
The criminal bench, just looking at three-pointers, I mean, Taskmaster, Black Cat are pretty freaking solid. And you've got a 2-point affiliated, Kingpin's a 4th. Like, I don't think you need that many affiliated models. I really don't see him displacing any of those people.
Curiously, he does, if he is a criminal, he could use the super stealth criminal tactics card, and so they'd have to come close to close to him to hurt him.
There's no reason to attack him. Yeah,
this is very loose synergy.
Yeah. It's like, unless you're paying for everyone in the list, why would I attack Shocker?
Right.
And so
if you have a bow or a throw effect, you don't need to, right? You just move him. So, yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
What's your trash scale? Give us the negative 17.
I only do trash scale on tactics cards.
All right. Give us a garbage scale.
Oh, you want a garbage scale on a Shocker?
Yeah.
Negative 3.
Pretty favorable score. All right. Just without context.
Yep.
Moving on. All right. So currently playing. I've broken out the defenders. I'm going to try and get a game in tomorrow. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hardlining Strange? Or are you opening yourself?
I mean, obviously, I'm playing the leader of my affiliation.
Okay.
Like, I don't know why you would ask that.
I don't have a defenders list with Dr. Strange in it, so I was just curious.
Really?
Yeah.
He's definitely in there.
I don't believe.
I accidentally built a list with 10 defenders in it.
Did you really?
And then I was like, I should put Wolverine in because he's affiliated. I might need to be affiliated. And then I looked and I started counting. I'm like, so I have 9 affiliated already. I probably don't need Wolverine. But I was like, but he's good in case I play Daredevil. So,
I had an interesting idea. After playing Black Panther so much, like putting him on the table a lot, Pounce is a really, really consistent ability. Like,
oh, yeah?
Yes.
It's so consistent for allowing you to attack and putting damage out. Like, we always talk about how throws are so great, and they are so great, but what happens when terrain is not available, or it's not applicable, or you just run out because you used your one terrain and now it's gone? And you
have
need
you never
to
had
this
that
spot.
Before?
It's, so... I love Pounce so much, I just made a list of all the characters in the game that could Pounce, either with a tactics card or an effect.
Included with Steve.
and I didn't I didn't actually put it with Steve because I found out that two of them are now Wakandans, Black Panther and the new Killmonger. Mm,
so you just don't need to use Steve because you're a spirit of bullshit.
And so you got it.
Enjoy it for the more next month and a half.
Yeah. So
fucking trash card.
Yeah. So I put together the list is called Jump Around, and it's all the guys who jump on you. So I'm excited to try it.
I'm excited for you to try it.
Yeah.
I would just like to take a moment and inform everyone who was on the fence and not fully aware. If you like Spirit of Wakanda, go fuck yourself. You're an idiot. Just move. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
This card is so bad for the game.
My not so secret tech that I'm really excited about is using Killmonger's leadership with Apex Predator. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody try it yet nor talk about it. And I think they are. I think
Apex it's basically I played him with Spider Foes with Green Goblin. I think it's about the same thing. You're just basically trying to spike really hard. It works, but it's still, again, all about hitting the thing that was already good. So
right. I like the idea of giving him an extra dice or doing a damage, which he doesn't care about. And I love three power, so you can actually do his ridiculous pounce. The fact that he's a size 3 pounce medium is silly. Dumb as shit. And the fact that I've never seen anybody try to abuse it makes me really surprised.
Oh, everyone that plays him usually is like, how can I do this more?
Right. It's so dumb. So I am really excited to try that.
The trick is stand on size 4s. That's how you stop it. Get on top of a size 4. It's like Graboids. You have to get away from them. That bitch will come for you from under the ground. Like, you gotta get up high.
Yeah, he's one of the few handfuls of models that can do 4 sources of damage in one activation.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty bullshit. He's one of the few that's only a 4-coster.
Yeah, that too.
Mm. No, Apex is amazing.
Yeah, I am.
I think he was on like every table for like a month. He was so popular. Yeah,
I feel like he really fell to the... I think Logan really overshadowed him, honestly. I think people were just like...
Yeah.
People just decided Logan was better, but...
The meta went really weird for a while.
Yeah. So I'm going to see what happens if every single one of my models throws themselves, and I'm also playing Wakanda. We'll see.
All right. Jeremy, what you got?
So in efforts to play in a team tournament, I'm looking at all the models with X's in their names, and I'm reminded how much I enjoyed playing Domino, and how much... I enjoyed playing X-Men, and I was like, most of these models flip-flop, and they're all really fucking good. So I'm going to be playing that for a little while, see how that goes, and kind of like work the list out. I mean, you can't really go wrong with Cable these days. Like, that dude's a fucking murdering machine. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cable's what they really hoped he would be on release. I think they did a good job with his rework.
Yep, I think he's where he needs to be now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I think Storm is fucking crazy good these days, too. And it's the first list I've had in a while that can go X-Men or X-Force. It's got, you know, two lists in it that are, I think, very solid and very easily switched back and forth. I like it.
Cool. Aaron, what you got?
I only got 2 games in last week. They were both with my dumpster diving Hydra list.
Did you find anything in your dumpsters?
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm about to be a stand for the Sentinel Mark IV. We're going to give it one more week.
Is it blowing the world up?
He soloed Bill.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. He's just like, Bill, throw me. I don't care. Yeah.
He can't throw him, right?
Bill can throw him with the spender, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, with the spender. Okay. But that's like a triple trigger, right?
On 10 fucking dice, but yes. you would think Bill would be a great answer to a Sentinel, and he is, in all honesty.
Honestly, I've never seen Bill use his spender, so I didn't even know it was that nice. That seems silly. I'm checking that.
It's like God Hunter okay. or something.
Yeah, yes. Or large Robot Hunter would be even better.
Large Robot Hunter.
Yeah. I mean,
Mark literally the best case use of that.
I've heard spender. Sentinel Mark IV referred to as God many times.
Okay.
Like God tier.
Yeah. So anyway, that quest is not quest. That journey is still going strong. Having a lot of fun with it. That's where I'm at.
How's Elektra doing? That's what I'm concerned about.
I played into Guardians, Thanos Guardians. And on turn one, she decided to do 3 damage to Thanos. That was strong, right? Used her power to place next to him. Next turn, my opponent decided to go into the Sentinel Mark IV with his bill and leave him on 1. Uh-oh. So I just left those two on the side to do what they wanted. And I was like, okay, we're having a big gangbanging in the middle. It was on intrusions. And so my little guys, the little grunts, double tapped Star-Lord, left them on a couple. Electra went, finished him off, and had 5 power and put it all into Thanos and dazed him before he got to activate turn 2. So yeah.
How do we let this happen?
Fucking amazing.
Oh, Lord.
So thank you all for giving me actual good models.
Yeah, that's what we did. Definitely nothing to do with good rolls right there. Correlation, not causation.
It's a 10 dice spender. Like, and he's like, reality gem. And I'm like, oh, so you're going to make that into a crit. Guess what doesn't count anymore? Like, it's probably the best spender in the game, specifically into Thanos. Mm. 10 dice, no crits. Funny. I mean, I don't think that 5 damage is out of the realm of the expected.
I thought it was only fair to give you some anti-Thanos tech.
Muchas gracias, señor.
You're welcome. We knew how strong the Electra Mark IV combo is. We wanted to see it unleashed.
Alrighty. So moving into our main topic today, one of our listeners asked us to build him a Sinister Six list. So we are going to look at the Sinister Scientist. All right. So I've heard Aaron talk a lot about this guy, but I actually haven't spent that much time looking at his card. All right. So his leadership is once per turn after attack target ally is resolved. If that character is not dazed, they gain a power. Additionally, once per turn, when an allied character suffers damage from an enemy attack after it is resolved, it may remove one of the following special conditions: shock, slow, incinerate.
Which almost never happens. It's technically possible. The second sentence, anyway. It's really, really hard for that to happen.
Is it? I've heard the opposite.
Oh. Every time I've ever played against him, I've only seen it happen once. And because...
I mean, it's clearly really good against, like, all webbed up and demons. Because those conditions will be everywhere and you're going to be getting attacked. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, certainly, like, if you're not getting those 3 conditions, it's completely fucking pointless because you're not suffering them.
I guess what I'm saying is that's what it is. It's just, like, you can't, if you count on getting them, you shouldn't. If you count on having them and not just getting dazed by the attack that, you know, got you after this.
If you just like, think about it
of,
as...
There are lots of situations where it doesn't happen, I guess, is my point.
Sure, but if you just think of it as, like, most things that apply shock are enemy attacks. And so if you just think of... If you just said the secondary effect said your army is immune to shock, that's not a terrible secondary effect on a leadership.
But it's not that, because you get shocked, it's not. And then the second time you get attacked, you can remove shock.
Why?
This is when you suffer damage from an enemy attack. After that attack is resolved, you may remove it. So if you, let's say you're getting shot by Crimson Dynamo with your Spider Foe.
Okay.
You give the character shock, right? Mm-hmm. And then...
Yeah.
They immediately remove the shock when they take damage. I thought it was you get shocked after the damage is resolved.
When the attack is resolved, you remove shock.
I thought it would be the second attack from Dynamo would let you remove the shock. Is that not true?
No.
Because the after the attack that resolves, that's for the defender, is after the attacker. So the attacker puts it on you.
So the attacker resolves after attack effects, which generally is when you apply secondary effects. And then your secondary effects trigger after the attack and you remove the shock. But the problem is, if he shoots you again, he just reapplies shock and you're still fucked. And so you kind of need to wait to see if he's going to hit you the second time.
Got it. So you can take the first, you can not...
Or if you don't take damage from either of them, you could then not trigger because you can only use it on damaging attacks.
Right. Yep. Okay.
So there's certainly situations where it doesn't work. But yeah, no, if Thor throws his hammer at you, does 2 damage and shock, you just remove the fucking shock.
Got it.
Yeah.
So when I look at Sinister Six... If I was going to build a list around it, I would want, similar to Kingpin, models that benefit from power.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to Emma, I guess. Benefit from power and are tanky enough to be able to take a couple hits. Right? So I'm thinking, like, especially Info's Lizard is perfect. Lizard is going to typically get hit a couple times, to be able to benefit from the first part of the leadership and then use that power to throw potentially every turn, depending on how often it's happening. Right? So like Lizard's the perfect model I want in a Sinister Six list, in my mind.
Is somebody keeping track of this, or am I doing
I've got it. I'm building a list, okay. Jarvis.
Perfect. So I would like to nominate Venom. A, he's affiliated, and B, he's really good when attacked already, and he's power hungry. So you can use him as a like attack deterrent kind of thing, and you can also use Lethal Protector to force attacks onto him. So if they come in with, like, let's say an incendiary grenade, you play Lethal Protector, jump in, you take the hit, gain an additional power, remove the incinerate immediately, and then attack them back applying bleed on their turn.
I know you like Venom more than I do, but he's on God the list. He's on the list for now.
Okay.
Okay.
Venom is good.
Venom should be in this list for sure.
Okay. I think we're going
to... I mean, if you just... Go ahead. Just talking about, like, Web Snare is super valuable. A size 3 throw is super valuable. Being able to attack people back is good. He has all of those things. The only reason he's not an all-star in most lists is because he can't generate enough power. This puts him in the spot where he's going to have enough power, in my opinion.
So if I was playing this list, I would probably make sure I'm picking up a close extract with Venom to make my opponent still want to attack him. Otherwise, why would I ever attack a Venom in this list? Right? It's a horrible idea.
And I mean, if you're paying a 4-point model to automatically win a secure, I don't think that's a terrible option.
He's not winning the secure. Maybe he just thrown off or displaced or someone ties him
up. I think he meant extract.
I meant secure.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's
so he's got web snare and a throw. So the only way he's losing is a secure is if you outnumber me noticeably or I'm activating Venom super early in the turn for some reason.
And foes tend to be relatively chonky with their fours, so I'm not anticipating being wider than my opponent.
They're certainly not a go-wide faction, but they're also not a tall faction.
Okay. I don't get too bogged down into the Venom role, but...
Sure. The other thing is he's really good against the high defense mechanic models that are out right now, like spider foes running everywhere. He's really good at just eating spiders.
Again, we're going to leave all these in and then see what we have to cut when we get done here. If we're windmill slamming foes models, I think we can slam Lizard and Rhino without much thought or discussion.
I don't know that Rhino needs any of the leadership effects. Rhino's just a fucking rock star on his own. So
He loves power, man. Stampede and throw every turn.
He has a ton of power already. No. Sure, I don't disagree, but I've never felt like, God, if only my Rhino could get some power. Like he already has so much fucking power. But yeah, more power is always good.
Yeah, and obviously you're taking it for robbery. But I think, now here's where I'm going to get a little spicy. I do not think you can make a mono leader Sinister Scientist plan. Because I think
Goblin is a great ad.
Okay. So I think you can have a Doc Ock primary plan, but against a pure scenario list, you need to have a plan to kill them. Because Doc Ock's leadership is only valid when being attacked. And if they're not going to engage with you at all, why would you ever run this guy? So that's my two cents.
And that doesn't mean you can't have him on the table also.
Sure. Yeah.
Personally,
I'm talking as a leader.
I would be a heavy proponent of a triple leader list where you also have Kingpin as a legal option. And if you get a good matchup for it, you drop Kingpin leadership.
Okay. I wouldn't disagree. Because
Your opponent has to be... we're talking about we have Lizard, Rhino, and then... So all we need... And we're probably going to have Kingpin anyway, because he's just a good four, especially with his leadership in mind. And then you can just say, I'm going to throw in Black Hat, all of a sudden I've got, like, the perfect criminal list on top of it. Like, that seems too easy.
My issue there, then, is why am I ever running Doc Ock? Like, Kingpin's almost always the better
plan. Your plan could be to run Doc Ock.
Sure.
Is Kingpin better at winning on scenario? Yeah. That doesn't mean that's necessarily how you want to play the game, or that he's good into everything in the same way. But I think it's good to have multiple options. Like, you're talking about, like, what happens when they play foes. Like, well, I can either, A, throw down Green Goblin, try and kill them if I think I can.
When you keep saying foes, do you mean Web Warriors?
I'm sorry. I do that a lot. I'm sorry. I meant Web Warriors. Mm-hmm. And so if they throw down webs, I can throw down spider foes and try and kill them. And then if I don't think I can kill them, I can throw down Kingpin and try and outscore them, depending on the scenario. Like, if we pull Researcher, maybe I just play Kingpin leadership just because.
There's also something to be said about using Kingpin in the list where Ock is the leader.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
Kingpin's a great four.
I think
I mean, he's a great four, especially great when he's four,
that you put him on a corner, you're like, how are you going to kill him? Like, he basically gets free damage reduction for the whole game. Like,
with the best throw in the game. One of the best throws.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, back to the foes who we want to include in this list. I think we want to include 3-point Doc Ock for when we're running Goblin.
Ooh, really?
I could be persuaded no.
I think if the point of the list is to build a list around Sinister Scientist, we just lean in at that point.
Well, okay. If
Otto's on the table, I think it should be 4-point Otto, or else we're kind of just throwing away the concept.
Also, if you're switching to, if you're talking about Green Goblin, I do not think that, like, you're throwing down Green Goblin because you're excited, because they're doing things like a D deployment, and they're going to try rotating a lot, and they're going to try to avoiding you, and Dr. Octopus does not help that plan. I don't think he's really good at rotating and neutralizing.
You think you only play Green Goblin if they're rotating?
No, I'm just saying Green Goblin's great on a D, because he can track down people, he can continue putting shots on target, which is what you need against web warriors if you're trying to out-attrition them, right? If you're not going to outscore them, you need shots on target. And Dr. Octopus's 3-point Dr. Octopus is not going to give you time on target. They're going to be able to manipulate him very easily.
Hmm.
So the only reason I would take 3-point Doc Ock is for welly plans.
Yeah.
Right. But I think you could just do it with 4-point Doc then.
Can you?
Yeah, he's Otto Octavius.
No.
Can you not?
No, you cannot.
Oh, I thought you could.
No, that's why I would take the 3-point. It has to be the 3-point Doc Ock to be able to sit that back point and then have the Willy plans for later.
People had been telling me they were planning on doing that. I just assumed they were right. I didn't even bother to check.
Oh, crap, you're right. Never mind. Yeah, 3-point Doc Ock is probably important.
Okay, so we're going to put him back in.
Hmm.
Okay, I actually don't want to take any other foes, but let's go over who they are and you guys can tell me why I'm wrong. Craven.
Are you letting us talk?
Yeah.
I think Craven has some interesting tools, but yeah, I don't think you need him.
I think Craven is, he can be, if he's piloted well, he can be very key component of an anti scenario based like Web Warrior style. Because if you use his superpower to do, take away wall crawler and do a damage when they move, you can do really dangerous things to things like Black Cat, where now you don't need to do 5 damage to her with zero mods. Now you only need to do 3 damage to her, because if she moves twice, now she's losing 2 health. Mm-hmm. Web warriors need their health, and they love to rotate. So he can do 2 damage to web warriors constantly with the superpower you don't like. And then the other superpower that you love is just do extra, roll extra dice on models. Again, dice on target. Also, if you plan Craven's activation correctly, sometimes people have to leave a model next to Craven because there's another moment that's more important. And if you activate Craven with a model right next to him, he can just daze them. Almost any model in the game. So there is something to be said about Craven. I think you have to know what Craven does and use him correctly. He is not a key attrition piece. I think he's specifically for the Green Goblin. But he can be very good into that.
Okay. He's in for now. Mysterio.
I actually really like Mysterio, but I admit that he's really not good.
Okay. Yeah. Carnage.
I think Carnage has some value in a meta where there's a lot of really squishy models running around, like two-pointers and grunts, especially with like the Ultron guns running around right now. I think he's worth looking at. I don't know that he's needed. You already have a bunch of fours.
Yep, he's gone. Okay, those satisfy our spider foes. If we want to look outside of affiliation, I would start off with Black Cat in a competitive roster. Tanky,
yeah, I mean,
loves
she,
power.
She should just already be in my opinion.
Also loves criminals, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason not to have Black Cat in a 10-man roster.
For the same reason we add Beta Ray Bill, loves power, is tanky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we already have so many fours, though.
Well, we'll cut him in a second. Hmm. And then a 2.
Bullseye.
Okay.
Works with most of your models and is good.
Okay, now the question is, do we want to have a Fire Threader above in this primary plan where Doc is going to power up his models to enable, in my opinion, displacement to win a game on scenario and or spenders if you need to get, you know, make shit dead.
So you think his the whole point of him is to win by board control?
Or effectively, yes, absolutely. That's what I think a Doc Sinister Scientist plan is.
Okay.
I want my people to be tanky and have displacement that they can use with the extra power they're gaining.
Okay, then you should put in Sabretooth, Apex. He just needs more power, and also removing Shock or Incinerate are both really good.
To answer your specific question about fives, if you want a model if that'll just stand there and do that displacement thing and contribute dice and probably get a lot of extra power, he'll just be a tower of power, is Sentinel Prime. I actually think Sentinel Prime could work. He's out of the box choice, but I think he actually works.
I was going to say Ulic.
Ulic is an option as well.
He's a criminal for some small synergy on that side.
But he doesn't does he have any displacement? I guess
he pushes with his pounders.
Yeah.
But mostly he displaces people by putting them on the side of the table. If you're only worried about board control, I mean, Cassandra Nova is the best board controller for 5 points. She also is kind of power hungry.
I'll say I don't think we want any fives or above.
That's fine.
Obviously,
I'm just looking at fives.
Yeah. His leadership is going to synergize more with the greater number of models. I think there are a plethora of fours that we would love to play. So if I ever have a five, I think it's probably better to downgrade that to a four and then upgrade whatever model we're talking about. Like, instead of a five and a three, a four and a four is almost always going to be better with the fours that we've got.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong. And certainly everyone will have their pet pick that they want to play, and that certainly wouldn't be wrong.
I think there is a interesting outside the box with Hulkbuster as well. I think he's you want to talk about somebody who just move a lot of models, likes to have like a little bit of extra power. He generates a fair amount himself, but he likes a little bit more to do all of his tricks. That could be interesting. It also allows you to play Helios Laser. If all your models are generating a whole bunch of power, you're paying for 6 threat, but that 6 threat can also pool power from any other models you do and hit something really hard. If you're like, oh, I need to remove that thing, and he does that.
This is a little off-brand, but what about Spectacular Spider-Man?
I consider He's that got as well.
Impact Webbing and Web Slinger. The throw, the proportion strength of the spider. So he's got a throw and impact webbing for a three-pointer. It also gets more power. He doesn't generally mind being attacked, and he likes removing incinerate. I think he actually synergizes pretty well.
I can buy that, as long as he can live. Dicey with the rerolls, but...
Sure, but I mean, compared to most threes, he's average. Yeah. Maybe a little bit better.
What about Luke Cage? If we're talking about generic threes. Really tanky. Like, his spender provides a displacement that additional power will get him.
Getting the more power is relevant. It also lets him bodyguard more often, because if you're refunding one of the bodyguard power, he can end up taking a lot of hits. I just don't know if you'll spend an unaffiliated slot on Luke Cage when all your guys are already pretty tanky. Honestly, I think we should look at Mysterio again. I didn't realize you were going like hard on board control. Having a three pointer that can move people is pretty great. And part of his problem, again, was he's power hungry. And so if they're spending 2 power to attack him just so that he gets extra power and then cancels their stuff more often, I think that's actually good.
He also, I thought he had, oh yeah, he gains 1 power if it rolled at least 1 blank. So he could fairly commonly roll, you know, get 2 power from a single attack, somebody attacking him. Mm-hmm. And without them, maybe they do one, they could do.
Yeah.
One damage, they spend, and he gets 3.
They spend that's 2 power to attack you, so they're losing 2 power. They hit you for 1, they get 1 back, so they're still net negative.
Yeah.
Then you gain 3 power.
Yeah. Like,
fuck you, bro.
Yeah, that's a terrible...
And then it's like, oh, then they move in somebody, and you're like, Counter-Strike, idiot, and you walk out of range. You're like, this is annoying.
Yeah, that's a very terrible economy for them.
Yeah, it feels really bad when it happens. And then it will get you to Grand Illusion even faster, which can completely shut down their attrition turns.
Also, Hypnosis Gas is dumb. It is really, dumb. Really dumb.
It's dumb.
It does have to do damage, but it's good.
Yeah, Doc Ock 1 is also interesting because he does have board control. Beast is vaguely interesting, but I don't know that he'll make the cut. I think he's just slightly worse Lizard, who's affiliated.
I'm gonna stand by my Hulkbuster idea earlier. I think that could be really interesting. I don't know when you.
I don't think you can go that narrow because you've got so many fours already. It's like, oh look, we're playing 15. Yeah. You're like, sweet, I've got three fucking models.
Like, yeah, I guess you'd have to do, what would it be? Hulkbuster, Doc, like
19, 17 like, is 4 wide.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. 19 would be the absolute or like lowest you could do it. Maybe 18. You'd have 5 wide with Hulkbuster. That sounds good enough, but that's it's
yeah. Hard. My votes for 3-point ads would be Mysterio and SSM.
Okay. So we've got 17 right now. I think we're probably at a point where we can start to trim, unless anyone has another model they really want to add.
Jeremy, what's the model you really want to add?
Dormammu.
Okay.
4 liters. Added. Can't be stopped. All right. Now hear me out, Aaron, because I think you're going to find this quite spicy. I got one more 3-pointer. They also come with a really good tactics card.
Is it Ant-Man? Ready? It should be Ant-Man.
It's not. I thought about Ant-Man, but there's no displacement.
I know.
All right. So hear me out, though. Dark Star.
Spicy. If we didn't have 17 already, she'd be in.
What am I thinking? What about OG Iron Man? He loves a little extra power. He takes damage really slowly.
He does, but his... Nobody's ever going to attack him for that exact reason, so he's not actually gaining anything from the leadership, and he doesn't have a consistent enough push.
Okay.
If we were going that route, I'd say just do Shuri.
Shuri does have a size limitation, and Iron Man doesn't.
You can't laser people off the fucking
but her,
table.
But you just use her to push the people that are small, right? And so she also gives rerolls to everybody else. She generates more power, and so I feel like she actually has good stuff. But yeah. Okay, so how many 4-pointers do we have, Aaron?
7.
That's too many.
You're not wrong.
We need to add.
So I would say we need to trim at least 2 4-pointers. And
oh yeah,
at least 2 3-pointers. So we're going to trim 4 models off the bat right now.
Okay. Here, so what are our 4-pointers?
Okay, we have Doc Ock, Sinister Scientist.
Okay, so as we go through these, let's just say, like, as long as unanimous keep, we'll move on.
Okay.
So obviously he's the leader. We're not cutting him.
Oh, well, I was actually going to say he's bad. We should get rid of him. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Venom.
hard keep. If you're going board control, he's one of your best board control forces in the faction.
Yeah. This is the one model I'll give you.
Okay.
Jeremy, Parker, any?
What?
Neither of them could give a fuck.
Okay.
What? I didn't understand.
Tell you what, I'm just going to read Venom. All 7 and Got then
okay.
That's pick what I the thought two that we're happening. Getting rid of. Okay.
That when we were saying yes or no on each one.
Okay.
So we were waiting on you guys.
Oh, I made a joke. I thought the sarcasm was obvious that... Yes, Dr. Octopus should be in the Dr. Octopus list, yes.
Unless we were on the next character already.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I literally didn't
We didn't hear it, seriously.
I didn't hear it. Neither of us heard it.
Venom.
Keep.
Keep.
Yep.
Rhino. Unanimous.
Keep.
Obvious keep.
Keep. Beta.
Ditch.
Oh, no way.
Trash.
Okay, Mo, we're really sorry. Jeremy's trying to undermine your list.
All right, we'll come back to Beta. I don't think we can cut Beta.
Green Goblin.
We cut Rhino. Honestly, I think we cut Rhino first. Green Goblin. If you're not playing, if you're selling out for board control, you don't need Goblin because the other models aren't there. So just cut him.
So you're fine playing Doc Ock, Sinister Scientist into a hard scenario team?
No, you'll just play Kingpin.
Okay.
The list is more set up to play with Kingpin than Green Goblin.
That's true. You are trying to cross the streams there. Green Goblin loves your super fighting.
You have none of the models Green Goblin wants.
Okay. Yeah.
Keep.
Cut.
Sabretooth, Apex.
Cut.
Oh, he's too good. What? Cut. Oh my god. Keep. Keep.
And last is Kingpin.
You have to cut something.
Cut.
Yeah, we're going to cut Bill and Rhino first.
No, you cut Sabretooth before you cut Bill or Rhino.
Oh my god. Why? Rhino has one throw. He does have a steal.
Because Sabretooth is... I would still ignore Sabretooth if I was playing against his team.
That's fine. He'll pounce into you, kill you, and throw somebody else.
With what power is he going to do this?
The power he gets from murdering all your people.
He has to get really lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that he has to rely upon his dice. Beta Ray doesn't need his dice to get to do his thing. That's why he's always in.
Okay. Over to you now. Brandon, Venom or Sabretooth? You have to cut one.
Why one of these? There's other worse fours in the list.
Nope.
These are like your two best fours. In this exact example, I would cut Sabretooth.
Okay.
But Bill and Rhino should be cut before Sabretooth, in my opinion. That definitely is
your opinion. Okay.
Okay.
So we cut Green Goblin and
Sabretooth.
How many times
have you played Apex in Spider Foes?
Zero.
So I've done it like 12 times.
I'm going to go ahead and cut Doc Ock, the three-pointer, because we really don't need him if we cut Green Goblin, because he was really there for like plans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have six threes. We need to cut one right off the bat. Black Cat, Luke Cage.
Cut.
Lizard.
Cut.
Spectacular. And Kraven.
Kraven.
I Kraven, Kraven as well.
If you're not playing Green Goblin, then don't.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There's no room for Kraven in that list.
Okay. We're down to 13. So now we need to get rid of three people total. Hmm. So we're playing Doc Ock with a Kingpin backup. We have Hulkbuster, Scent
Cut.
Prime, Doc Ock,
Cut.
Venom, Rhino, Beta, Kingpin, Mysterio, Black Cat, Cage, Lizard, Spectacular, and Bullseye.
Cut everything over four.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
Yeah, if you're playing this style, then those two don't really.
I love Hulkbuster more than most people. Mm-hmm. I think he's an amazing model and kit, but I don't think he just belongs on this list.
If you wanted to play Hulkbuster in Doc Ock Spider Foes specifically, I think you would be rewarded for it. It would be a really weird game. You're trying to do something really weird.
We were talking about why would you attack Apex? Why the fuck would you ever attack Hulkbuster in this example? And it's just diluting the leadership on less models. Like
I think it's specifically like a hammers kind of choice where he just gobbles up two hammers and then people feel like they have to go kill him and then good fucking luck, right? So I think that's kind of what it is you're specifically holding out for that kind of situation. So if you were like, I really don't want to lose to cubes or hammers, then you go, okay, well, then this would help.
The interesting thing is, because he's on a large base, it's actually easier to throw him out of attack range. So you could actually do stuff like stagger him and throw him, and he gets zero attacks.
People have tried that against, when I've played him before, and it is harder than you think. It's possible. Like,
the distance is, you only have to throw him, like, short, basically, to get him out of range three.
Doesn't his, when he spends a power before you attack, does that cancel throws on attacks?
Well, I was talking about superpower throws, but sure, we can check it. I think it stops pushes.
So yeah, if they have a superpower range four throw and a stagger on the same, they can do both before you
activate. No, but you don't have to do it with the same model, right? Because everyone's already running Black Cat. She's on a huge base, so you're going to get staggered because it's your big expensive model.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just needs anyone who can move you, even if he just bows you. Like, he doesn't need to necessarily throw you with an attack. Built to Take It says, gotta be pushed as a result. So he still gets thrown by anything that throws. Yeah. The only thing it stops is pushes from attacks.
I mean, everybody has to have a weakness, right? So that's what's...
No, it's fine. I'm just pointing out that if in this example of the list, like, it is controllable.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Are we getting rid of those models, the big ones?
I think you need to. Yeah.
Thank you. Move on.
Okay. I added a model to the list. It's Taskmaster. Uh-oh.
I don't hate Taskmaster.
Really, it's for one specific reason, and that's if we look at your affiliated Spider Foes that we have left. You only have Lizard and Mysterio as your threes.
Hmm.
And I might argue for cutting Mysterio in a second, and you can't do that. I would want to have at least two affiliated threes. So
the Taskmaster is just good.
Yep. He's also in Criminals for that splash. So I think we need to cut 1-4 and 1-3.
So because we're up to 12 now.
It is 12 total. Yep. We have Bullseye in the back end.
What are the threes again?
Taskmaster, Spectacular, Lizard, Luke Cage, Black Cat, Mysterio.
Luke Cage.
My vote is Luke Cage. Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Because you've already got Venom, so you don't need Heroes for Hire. Also, most of your models are tanky again, so you need Heroes for Hire even less.
Okay. Cut Cage, and now we need to get rid of one. It can be a three or a four. Venom, Rhino, Bill, Kingpin. Mysterio, Cat, Lizard, Spectacular, Taskmaster.
Jeremy said Spider-Man.
He did.
Yeah, I was already there, but we're not. We're just doing what Brandon wants. That's cool.
No, I actually think Jeremy's right.
Oh, interesting.
In that list, I think Spider-Man is the most cuttable.
Okay. So we have five fours for various situations, four threes, and a two. I think that's a fine distribution. You have the models necessary to play both affiliations. If we move to crises, if we want to primarily play the displacement Sinister Sticks plan, I would propose that we avoid the ones that your scenario teams really want. So I would start with Intrusions and Meteors.
Yeah, that's fair.
After that, I would probably go Scoundrels, because A, it's really good for Kingpin, and it's also, I think, good for Sinister Six.
I would say Madman, because you've got a very large amount of high physical defense, but actually not a lot of high energy. Maybe replace Meteors with Madman. It's also really hard for the enemy to... Like, if you're just saying, I just need to split with you, it forces, like, the scenario blitz list to cross the table and take yours from you, which is actually pretty hard to do.
Okay.
And so as long as you can keep parity on the extracts, you can do pretty well.
Okay, so Scoundrels, Intrusions, and Madmen.
I also like Mayor Fisk, because once you start grinding it out, it gets really hard for the scenario blitz list to stand in the middle and fight you while also taking damage from the missions.
Do we like that in lieu of one of those three?
Because it was this Intrusions, Scoundrels, and Madman was what we were on.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Scoundrels in my list, because it makes it really easy for stuff like webs to just run you over. But that being said, Kingpin's obviously really good on it. So I think it depends on what your strategy with Kingpin is. Is your goal to play Kingpin, or only play Kingpin if your opponent shows up with score fast missions?
So I actually think that Sinister Six would be great on Scoundrels. For the same reason Kingpin's good. Like, they're going to displace the opposing team off of the Scoundrels while benefiting from the cover to help stay alive with their tanky models.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. The only problem is if, like, the other person has sold out harder than you.
So this is a problem with the list. I think that the hard scenario lists are going to be advantaged into this.
Agreed. That's why I think Kingpin is an important drop, because it at least gives you a chance.
Okay.
But, and so I think part of it is, my strategy, I guess, with missions might be that I'm going to play the more fighty missions. And they're kind of like middle ground. And then if my opponent shows up with high scoring, I can play that game with them. And then if my opponent shows up with, like, you know, more fighty stuff, I can also play that game with them. I think that was how I would approach it.
I don't think it's formulaic that somebody would say, oh, I got my Scoundrels to flip over, so I'm automatically going to play Kingpin and win. Like, well, no. Because if somebody's playing X-Force into you, you might lose with Kingpin, because you can't do enough to the X-Force, and X-Force will just chew through you. So it actually might be better to be Spider Foes in that scenario, because you'll be able to fight back better than the Kingpin list will, in my opinion.
Yeah. I specifically with the Fisk, without any way of getting rid of stun, I don't love including Fisk in that list.
I mean, aren't you pretty good with stun with the Doc Ock leadership?
You are correct. You are better than other people.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Asgard concept. It's like, if we're both power hungry, then I'll just be better than you. I love playing Mayor Fisk, because I love letting my opponent have the Mayor Fisk on the first turn, and then you damage and stun all their models, and it just wreck into them, and it's really hard to recover from that. And a lot of people will just feed it to you repeatedly. And if they don't, then you play a nice, slow, grindy game.
I actually really like the 16 in this roster.
Lots of fours.
Well, actually, I'd go five wide.
3-3-2?
Yeah, 4-4-3-3-2. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lizard, Mysterio, Bullseye.
We are building this list for somebody else, and maybe somebody they'll have to figure out Mayor Fisk, because you have to figure out Mayor Fisk. But I think it behooves everyone.
Mayor Fisk is definitely like a choice. You have to practice it.
But they can also like tune in and hear how we're debating building it and make different
decisions. That's why I think it's important to talk about it, because just handing someone a list and expecting them to do well with it, I don't think works.
But I think anything would be fine here except for the Ds.
Yes.
Like, which you could play Infinity. I wouldn't play Demons, but...
Past logic would have been Ds are great for Spider Foes, too, so I think it's important to make that distinction.
Sure. Okay, for the extracts, I initially had Skrulls, Alien Ship, and Legacy Virus as the lower-scoring fighty ones.
Do you like Alien Ship? I'm just worried that you're going to have a lot of power, so it's going to explode on you a lot.
I have never considered that in my...
Really?
...roster construction. Zero.
I think about that a lot.
It is never a consideration.
I've definitely done it with Convocation. I played one game and immediately said, nope, never fucking doing this again. Because my whole list was just exploding left and right. And it was just like, god damn. You cannot risk getting dazed at like really bad times.
I've always found it to be more random than being able to plan around it. And it often screws my opponent just as much as it screws me.
I think it depends on you how you expect your list to play. So if you're expecting your list to kind of like grab up a bunch of extracts and kind of tank, then it's bad because you will just take a lot of damage over the course of the game and it lets your opponent come
back.
Well,
it is a dice roll. It's not automatic.
I'm aware of that, but I mean, you're rolling more often than most people because if they're doing like a Sam list, most of those like random three-pointers don't collect a bunch of power. They end up using it. And so if you're playing a list where you have a bunch of four-pointers, that also your leadership is generating additional power. I just think that you're going to invite chaos as opposed to deal with it.
You're generating typically one or two more power, typically. And also you're playing lots of characters that spend three power to throw, right? I think the math works. I think it would be okay.
Well, but the leadership is giving you power after your activation. And so, like, your opponent can just, like, tap you. Oh, look, I did one. You gained two power. And now you're making a roll.
You don't have to gain two power, do you? Like, you don't have to activate the leadership.
Is the leadership a may?
It is not.
It is not a may. Okay, cool. Then, no. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, it's not a deal breaker. I'm just saying, is there another mission that's similar that you would consider? Because at that point, I think I'd rather do paranoia and take advantage of your higher health pools in that way.
Paranoia scores really fast.
It can. So but you have a lot of board control, so you can potentially break up their double score.
You have Cat and Rhino. I think I'm fine putting Paranoia in. Obviously, you can season to taste.
Lizard's obviously test great it. With it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, take out Alien Ship, put in Paranoia.
Isn't Paranoia also 16?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Scrolls, Virus, and Paranoia. So I kind of like that there's a lot of completely random missions in here. Like, it's not the standard
three.
Yeah,
it's not running the standard three package or the five package. It's running a mix.
Yep.
So it's going to put your opponent in weird spots for mission selection.
Every opponent is going to hate your secures and your extracts for whatever reason. So, okay. So we have Intrusions, Mad Men, and Fisk, Scrolls, Virus, and Paranoia.
So we've got, isn't Intrusions 19?
Mm-hmm.
So we've got 19, 20, and what was the third secure we did? Was it Mad Men for 18?
Fisk. 16, 18, Fisk and 19. Fisk for 16. Yeah.
16, 18, 19. And then we've got 16, 19,
20. 16,
19, 20. Okay. I like those totals. Because a lot of people plan for like 17, so we don't have much standard.
Yep. Okay, now we'll do a quick rundown, not spending too much time on it, but on the tactics cards. What two restricted cards do we think we want?
I think Brace, because you've got a lot of chunky boys that get thrown into each other a lot.
Yep.
And Fisk helps with that somewhat, but he's probably not going to be on a lot of your tables.
There is an argument for patch-up in this that I
That's I what like. I put in, too. Got lots of power. Find a way to send it, or spend it, rather. Mm-hmm. Okay. Going through the, let's see here, unaffiliated, we have Eyes on the Prize.
I kind of take it back, Parker. I think Iron Man, would have been an interesting add because of the probability of Helios. Like, just do a giant Helios on turn two. That could have been huge.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
When I was saying it, and like nobody said anything, and we just listened to it.
When did you say Helios? I never heard you say Helios.
I said Helios. He said Iron Man, and I said, yeah, Helios. I said giant space laser, and then everyone just...
Why were you whispering, though?
I was talking just like now.
Never said it.
Anywho, moving on.
Okay, so we're going to go with our Spider Foe affiliated card, Sinister Traps. Then we're going to go with our character-specific cards, Lethal Protector, the Grand Illusion.
Is Doc's card any good? I started reading it earlier. It's fucking weird.
He has a card?
This is Our Day.
Oh.
Yeah. During the power phase, if you have fewer VP than your opponent, you play the card. This round, each time, you would drop a token. You place it within three instead of them placing it within two. And then additionally, each time an allied non-grunt character is dazed or KO'd, within two, every enemy within two suffers a damage. So if you kill their people, they splash damage their own people.
No, allied. Each time they kill us, it splashes to them.
That's gross.
We're going to say no.
Yeah, it's a weird card.
So we're up to six with just our restricted and character cards. Brace patch up. Sinister Traps, Grand Illusion, Lethal Protector, Robbery.
What about Neogenic Recombinator?
Is that something we want to take?
I think it's cute. It is nice for like taking damage off of wait, Kat's not a
she's not Spider-Foe. She? Nope. So are we yeah, in agreement that we're gonna lock in those six?
Yeah.
Those okay.
We have Bill, so we should probably have Eyes. Did you already put Eyes in there?
Yep. So I have Eyes, Fallback, Mission Objective, No Matter the Cost. I think we can probably get rid of No Matter the Cost. Those are just the four that I put in every list and then take out as we need to.
What were they again? Fallback?
Eyes, Fallback, Mission Objective, and No Matter the Cost.
Yeah.
So now we have Eyes, Fallback, Mission Objective, and Neogenic Recombinator.
Oh, I don't know that we need it. I was just asking.
Sure. Well, it's the 10th one right now, unless we have one we want to put in its place. Exceptional Healing disarm. For Lizard. We are not putting Disarm in.
Not Disarm. Trip Up.
We're not putting Trip Up in this list.
Oh, I always put Recal, but always find a better card. But I always think Recal is really fucking good.
I like Recal with the big model. We just don't have any big models.
Well, Recal also is it's sometimes going to be hard to play, but these guys are going to have power as they die, right? So I like Jeremy's idea.
Okay, putting it in.
Also, Shadow Org or Cruelty are not bad.
Yep. Now I'm going to swap to Criminals. I hadn't put any of those in yet.
I don't think you want All According to Plan.
I never like it with Kingpin.
I think there are times it's worth it, but...
Okay, so we're three over at the moment. So you each get to X one of these cards. Eyes on the Prize. Fallback. Mission Objective. Neogenic Recombinator. Recalibration Matrix. Cruelty and Shadow Org. Jeremy X's Neogenic Recombinator?
Yeah.
Okay. Parker.
Cruelty.
Brandon.
Shadow Org. You don't need it.
Okay. Thank you. Those are the three.
We have a list. Mo, congratulations. You have a Sinister Six list.
Shoot me that list. I'll add it to the show notes.
Whether it's good or not, I don't know. But we had a fun time creating it.
It's definitely not the Spider-Foes list I would have made.
This is true.
shares almost nothing with it. Except for Venom. If it shares Venom. I like that I got to shoehorn Venom in there. That's great.
It cost you everything.
It did cost me everything. And it was worth it.
I don't think it's that much of a shoehorn. I think it does what the list does.
I think it totally works in the list. I was just worried that people that are narrow-minded like Aaron wouldn't allow it in.
Mm, I told you I'd give you one. That's called compromise. If you're in a relationship, you'd know that.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Did you guys have anything else you want to chat about before we get out of here? Alrighty. Well, thanks for tuning in this week, guys. Hopefully you had a good time. This has been Brandon.
And Parker.
And Jeremy.
And Aaron.
And you've just listened to Parker Wins Zero Bets.
So what are we going to call this thing?
I got it. Okay. Incredible. New. Fantastic. Astonishing. Mighty. Original. Uncanny. Sensational podcast.
I'm just going to put down Infamous.
So why can't you put different size sticks of RAM in your computer? I was told very specifically not to do that by multiple people.
Really?
Yeah.
I've not heard that, but of course, I'm the guy who tried to shove his entire computer into a cloud, so...
Yeah.
Don't ask
your answer to that was repeatedly delete the things in the cloud so they re-upload.
No, I didn't. I didn't so much as I just
you
kind of...
You literally did that.
I just said, stop! <It's> like, delete.
I had... Me and Ryan were crying for like 5 straight minutes laughing at you trying to upload your computer to fucking Dropbox.
Yes. So don't... Yeah. And what I'm
Dropbox
saying
is like, congrats, you now have 2 gigs of cloud space. Would you like to back up your hard drive? And he just hard presses yes. Yeah. How big was your hard drive, Parker? Was it only 2 gigs?
It was pretty big.
It was pretty big. So it just jams 2 gigs up there and stops. And then Parker's like, why'd you steal this? He takes the items in Dropbox and drags them to his desktop. And it just creates this vicious circle of data that's just rotating around.
And every time my computer was like, every time I clicked on any application, my computer's like, we can't find the source for this. And I was like, yeah, you can. Look at the trash can. That's where I put everything. Just look in there.
So he starts getting all these duplicates on his desktop because things are copying and moving and copying and moving. Yeah. So then he starts deleting everything.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. Delete.
It's like Parker's just in there with a freaking power drill just drilling holes in his hard drive. Like, why isn't it? Wow. That was the first time. That was us trying to record episode zero of this podcast.
Yeah, it was. It was the very first.
It was so stupid. I was like, Parker, what are you doing? And I didn't know we could share screens at the time.
Yeah.
So I'm like, describe to me what's happening. He's like, my computer is killing itself.
It's like eating its own
tongue. I was like, that's not possible. It shouldn't be doing anything you're saying it's doing. And he's like, but it is. I have to stop it. Short of ripping cords out of his computer, he was doing everything he could to turn it off.
Yeah, I hope. I should probably go back to that first episode and see if it's actually recorded. I remember talking to you the entire time it was happening. Mm-hmm. So, like, somehow my computer was managing to communicate with you and eat itself at the same time. Like,
it was amazing.
Yeah.
The
fact that it handled both was really commendable, actually.
It was handled like a champ.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, trying to lift the car off of its baby kind of situation.
Yeah, it was.
You're just ripping parts out of it. It's like, I have to keep going.
Johnny Five anyway. Is alive.
Oh my god.
So no, I don't know anything about RAM is the answer to your question.
Yeah, so I used to have 4 8-gig sticks for 32 gigs of RAM, and today I bought 2 32-gig sticks, and so I was like, should I just leave the other 2 8-gig sticks in there, and then I'd have, what is that, 72 gigs, and they're like, no, don't do that. I'm like, but why not? It's just more RAM. They're acting like it's a big deal, so. Yeah. I'm sure someone out there is screaming the answer at their radio, but I don't know.
It probably has something to do with the speed. They're probably different.
There are different speeds of RAM, but I believe my sticks have the same speed. They're both DDR4, and they're both 3200 hertz. So it should be fine to my knowledge, but they still said don't do it. They said something about it could mess with voltages, because I guess they'd have the different RAM sticks have different power draws. Mm. But I don't know if they'd be different enough to fuck with it. I don't know.
Sounds like science.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly would not expect you to know, Jeremy.
I've probably replaced more RAM than any of y'all, but it was, you know, 20 years ago when you fucking fought your computer inside of it like fucking Terminators.
Yeah. Yep. Dude. I imagine all of your RAM came on floppy disk.
No. I've built a lot of computers during my day back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so quick question. And this is important. If you were to go to an airport you hadn't gone to and had with you 2 11-year-old boys, and you knew that you had to get them on a plane to send them home, and their dad was going to pick them up, what time do you think, because they're riding by themselves, how early should you get to that airport?
Probably 15 minutes before the plane leaves.
I guess. Okay.
That's not like when you park, that's when you pull into the airport. Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Wait, how early should you get there to pick them up? Cause they're getting off the plane.
No. If
to put them on the plane,
we're going to take them to the airport.
Yeah. You're basically walking up to the terminal and saying, here are my children. This is their boarding pass. Good luck. And you leave.
And you have to actually, so just so you know, you have to actually walk them all the way to the airplane and basically almost get on the airplane yourself when you hand your children over to an airplane. And then me on the other end, I have to be there and get them. So
how is that even fucking legal? Let's just talk about this for a second. How is it okay that you can leave your children unattended on an airplane?
Basically, they have a babysitter. Planes have babysitters.
Do they?
Yeah.
Is that a service they provide?
No.
Or is that just a, we're hoping the human beings on this flight are willing to watch my children?
No. Like, it's all set up. Like, there was someone, when they got off. Anyway, go back to the first question. We'll go to your question.
Okay.
Let me tell you, the incorrect answer is an hour and a half. I got a call yesterday that said, "Oh my God, we missed our flight." And I said, "I've never missed a flight in my entire fucking life. What are you talking about?" I missed one flight. Yeah, because you have to check your children in and get them through a line that says, "I'm checking my children in. Can you please watch them on the plane?" That's a whole ordeal. And then put them on the plane. For something like that, I'd probably get there at least 2 hours early, maybe even 2.5, being that it is a giant airport.
Generally speaking, if it's an airport I've never been to before, we usually shoot for arriving at the airport 3 hours early.
So,
and that's like we'll sit down and have lunch in the airport is the plan.
Oh, yeah. So they ran up. They were 1 minute short, apparently, according to my children, who are licensed reporters. They have to tell you what's true. I bet
they are.
One minute, they slammed the door and were like, "Get the fuck out of here." So, yeah, all of a sudden, my plans for yesterday got destroyed because then I have to go pick my kids up at the airport at midnight yesterday. But yeah, like they, the boys got off the plane. Someone walked them to me. They had paperwork. It was like I was exchanging goods and services that I got to sign them off the airplane from their like supervision person, which was like a babysitter. It was really strange. I've never done that before.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my parents sent me to Orlando on an airplane, and we didn't have supervisors or anything. They just kind of like our friend of the family drove us to the airport and dropped us off. And then they just told us what gate to go to, and we just kept asking people where the gate was until we got on the plane.
You say we, so there's more than one. You and
my
sibling?
Sister, yeah.
Yeah. I did it solo when I was 14. I went from KC to Baton Rouge through Atlanta. I had a layover in Atlanta.
Oh my God. You had a layover by yourself?
Yeah. And they didn't have anybody on the plane with me, but when I got off the plane, there was supposed to be somebody meeting me at the terminal, right? Like right as I got off the plane. And nobody was there. And I kind of looked left and I looked right and I couldn't see anybody. And so I just walked on into the terminal and found like my flight and just went through Atlanta by myself. It was the most amazing moment of my young adult life. I remember feeling like such incredible triumph that I just did it all myself and nobody stopped me. Nobody was like, "Hey, what's that, you know, child doing?" Like I just acted like I belonged everywhere and just walked around. And
you're like Home Alone 3 and that shit. Like go where you want.
I felt like more like Catch Me If You Can, like straight out of that. Just like a child just like posing as an adult. I just just walking around.
I had actually told them if you get lost, you know what to do, right? And they're like, "Yeah, we go walking around in New York like in Home Alone 2. And I was like, "Good." And they go, "We'll meet Donald Trump." And they had like all Home Alone 2's like the entire script. I was cracking up because they completely got what I was talking about.
That was awesome.
But yeah, it was fucking weird. It was an experience.
I am kind of happy it's more formalized now that there's actually like a person on the plane with youths, because I remember I told my wife about that and she's like, "Oh my gosh." Just like, I could see how you weren't like freaking out about that at 14, but I think I would be beside myself if I found out, you know, when my kid got to Baton Rouge, because back then there was no cell phones. Like my parents had no way of knowing that I didn't have anything in Atlanta. So I didn't find out until I got to Baton Rouge with the rest of my family that they're like, I was like, "Oh yeah, no one helped me. I just had to figure it all out myself." And they're like, "Wow. No one ever helped me get out of Baton Rouge." Like when I got off the plane there, like there was still security there. I just walked out of the airport.
Now that you're walking through this, I actually think this was a Joe Dirt situation, but you managed to find your way back home.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
It's like, that's what they named you, Joe Dirt.
This here is a giant piece of airplane poopy.
Oh my God.
I have failed before in Mojo World. I have failed because I knew I was picking something kind of strange and out there.
But you thought you had it though.
I thought this time I had like a few votes.
I had zero.
Zero. I have not had zero in a dog's age. I was really surprised I got zero. Somebody did call out my Metal Storm pick, and then That's didn't correct. Vote
and then me, didn't vote for you,
which made me go, wow, I picked dog shit. What was funny is that nobody like gave me any shit for it, and as opposed to Deuce Bigelow, which I got multiple votes for and then also screamed out of the channel. But this time, no, only one positive affirmation. And then
Parker
zero
is
votes.
The fucking Skip Bayless of Mojo World. Yeah, he just wants an interaction. He doesn't care if it's good or bad.
Yeah,
I just want people to say words about me.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I need that kind of attention, because this one really surprised me. I thought I would get some. It didn't surprise me that you guys got so many either. I was just like, man.
Hmm. Well, I think on NES games specifically, it has more to do with when you were exposed to NES games. Because I was only exposed to NES games when I was, God, like, I would say like 5 or 6. I was super young when I got my Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have it for very long because it broke.
Yeah.
So I only got to play NES games for like, I don't know, like a year. I only got to play like, you know, a handful of titles. And then the games, I was really young, so I couldn't play the hard games like Punch-Out. Like, we had Punch-Out, but I couldn't play it because I didn't understand the controls and stuff. And so, yeah, it's just interesting because, like, obviously the people who had it when they were a little bit older enjoyed the more difficult games like Punch-Out and all that.
The other thing about it also depended upon, like, I don't think I owned more than 4 games, but I did everything through my grocery store rent movie rental. You guys remember grocery store movie rental?
Oh man.
Yeah.
Like all of my Nintendo games came from there, and they only probably I mean, if I went back to that section somehow and could recreate it, there was probably only like 20 games in that thing. And so I played them all constantly. I always had one of their games on my shelf. So that's where like Metal Storm, for example, like I remember that I had that game all the time on my shelf because I loved it.
Do you remember when you would go to the grocery store or whatever and you had one opportunity, one chance to rent a good game that was going to last you a while? And with Nintendo games, sometimes they just didn't give a fuck about you and your feelings. And they didn't give a fuck about how long you played it. Dude, some of those games you'd rent and it would be so hard and so stupid, it was like complete garbage. It was just a waste of money and your 15 minutes for you to decide is impossible.
Yeah.
There must have been. Yeah, because like, it was like your weekend rental, and it was like you play it for 10 minutes, you're like, this game sucks. And you're like, God damn it, I wasted all weekend. Now I have nothing to do.
Looking back on it, rentals must have been dirt cheap. Or it must have been or it just must have been that difficult to get NES games. Because if my parents did the math, I must have had at least one rental on my shelf every moment for like 4 years of my life, right? So like,
well, games were still $50. So yeah, I guess $50 to buy a game. Yeah,
okay,
because
was it that expensive?
Not NES games, right?
Yeah, they were.
NES games were like $20.
No, that's the thing about games.
No,
the history of video
PlayStation
games.
PlayStation games weren't even $50 on release.
Yes, they were.
Oh shit, they are. I'm looking at it right now,
dude. Video game, like, the video game market is so fucking weird because they have kept that mark the same. It's like video games cost the same then as they do now.
Yeah. I'm looking at.
They've
I'm looking
never
at
been
the,
able to move the needle, or no, but nobody will buy it. It's
I'm
fucking
looking at
weird.
I'm looking at the Nintendo game cartridge page from Nintendo's magazine. You know, way back when they printed everything in magazines. Doctor Mario was $35. Castlevania 3 was $45.
$45.
Yeah,
I mean, some games were
like,
shit.
But there's a range here. A lot of the games are in like the 35.
Super
range.
Mario 3.
They weren't like benchmark 50.
Super Mario 3 was $50.
$50.
Yeah, but that's like their main title for the
thing. But and a main like title is still $50.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden 2.
They're not $50. Now they're more expensive.
But barely, right? We're talking 35 years ago.
Yeah, this is... Yeah.
Sure, if you're saying that it hasn't moved as far as we thought it would, then yeah. But I remember when the like every game coming out was $65, people were losing their minds.
Dude, but I thought...
There's also way more titles now than there ever used to be. Like, it used to be, like, big name titles back in the day. There's only, like, what, 6 or 7 a year? Now there's, like, fucking 25.
I agree with Jeremy. Like, the fact, I did not remember the Ninja Gaiden 2 was $50 in, what is this, 1989 or some shit?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, like that blows my mind. Because you could, I just bought a AAA game for $40 on Xbox, like, 3 weeks ago. Like, that's... That blows my mind.
It's they can't move the price for the same reason, like, people won't eat green ketchup, even though it might be delicious. Like, people won't spend money on games above that mark.
Well, it's the same people buying the games for the most part. Like,
kind of, but isn't it's just weird. Like, cars didn't stay at, like, $8,000.
Right.
You know, like, other products have, like, gone up and stuff, but games for some reason. And it's like,
I will say there is definitely a much wider variance than I expected looking at this magazine.
Yeah.
Because there's like 10 titles at $20 or less, but there's about half of them around $40.
So it says here that the cumulative price increase due to inflation for this is average product or the dollar is 123.9% since 1990 when these games were out. So these games should be now $100. Like, video games should be $100 plus if you're keeping up with just inflation to pay for your developers and to pay for the game. So that's nuts that they're not. That's so weird.
Huh? EA Sports
market
is like,
saturation,
they're like, I'm fucking selling
market
these games.
Market saturation has massively increased also, though. Like, the percentage of people buying games versus before. Mm-hmm. Like, how many NES consoles do you think they sold?
40 trillion.
A lot. I'll ask.
Roughly 61 million.
Yeah, that checks out.
PS2 sold 150 million. Mm-hmm.
Well, this also helps me understand and feel better about everybody's always screaming about in-app purchases and in-game purchases, you know? And I've always been like, sure, it makes a little bit of sense, I guess. But this makes a lot of sense. When they haven't risen the price of Ninja Gaiden in, what is it now, 30 years? And they want me to pay for his cool outfit in the game? Like, yeah, sure, that makes sense. Like, yeah, I get it. I get why they're doing it that way, because nobody, like you said, nobody wants the price tag to go up. It's strange.
If people just admitted to themselves how much money they spent on League of Legends and WoW, then they'd have to like totally reevaluate their gaming budget.
Right.
Microtransaction games are just so much easier to get money long term.
When WoW figured out like I can charge these people monthly and they won't pay attention, holy shit.
Well, also, I mean, I actually kind of defend the subscription base as long as it's a reasonably priced subscription, because if you're willing to provide enough content and entertainment for me to feel I want to maintain my subscription, then power to you, man. But, like, now the thing I don't like is when they also charge a premium price for the game and then also want you to pay a subscription. So, like, if you're spending $60 on, like, a release update that happens twice a year, then also paying $20 monthly subscription, I think that's kind of silly. It kind of should be one or the other. Anyway.
Well, that's one that definitely the market decides on what's allowed. Like that one, like people will just not do it.
Sure. I mean, if you make a good enough product, people will pay whatever you want.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's start a podcast. I learned something.
No.
I was watching a little clip or whatever. And it was a guy, he was like, let me tell you about websites you don't know about. And they're very good. And I was like, okay, I'm in. And he's like, this website will tell you if your computer is on or not. Here's how you do it. And it shows him going, he goes, first off, go to command prompt. So he goes all the way into the command prompt. He's like, type in this. And he brings up, it's like, open Google. Google opens up. He goes, go to...
he goes to command prompt to tell it to Google.
Go to Google. Google opens up. And then he's like, okay, go to Mozilla. Download Mozilla. So he downloads like three different apps.
He downloads three different browsers.
Yeah, yeah.
So using each one to download it.
Yes. And then he goes, okay, now that you're in here, type in, is my computer on? And then it pops up and it just has the word yes at the very top. And he goes, there you go. Perfect. It's on. I was like, yep, that's a Brandon thing right there.
And this is why Jeremy doesn't know how to use computers.
Exactly.
This is where he gets his IT knowledge.
Following. Okay, I get it. Hey, this guy's correct.
So how about this? Do you guys actually have fun, interesting websites that most people don't realize are a thing? I have one that I don't know how nobody else has ever heard of it. Maybe it's just something I think is cool and nobody else cares. It's a website called Infinite Jukebox.
Uh-uh. I don't know about that.
It was a like cooperative effort to create for, I think it was like some like college like thesis kind of thing, but they wanted to write a program that could recognize the patterns in songs and use it to link the song together in different formats. So basically imagine that you cut up a song and rearrange the parts because those parts are identical. It's like, you know, when you go into the bridge and the chorus and blah, 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 and those parts are identical because they're all meant to be the same. So basically, if you just break those parts and rearrange them into a different order, and the song comes out different. But what the thing does is it uses the predictive algorithm to recognize the different points of the song. And anytime it gets to a point that's identical to another point, it has a chance to branch into that other point, infinitely playing the same song in different orders. So basically, it just infinitely repeats the song in different chunks. Mm.
That's weird.
And so it's, you can just go online, you can upload any song you want onto it, and you just hit play, and it will just play infinitely, rearranging the song constantly. So if you ever hear those, like when like a band has a really popular song and they just like jam out to it for like an hour at a concert, you basically emulate that with the website. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Or alternatively, you can go see if your computer is on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned it, but there's a you can go.
That's the website. I can show you how to get there.
I'll get you the link.
Go to www.virus.com.
Yeah.
.com. Now, as soon as you get there, you want to hold Control press A and then hit enter. And that will open all of the links on the page. That will really get your computer booking.
Man. I used to have all kinds of stuff like that. It's just been a lot of years since I've done any of the internets.
I have a bunch of stuff like I use for my students, just like time-wasting art generation websites and stuff like that.
There used to be a website, I don't remember what it was called, but they were basically a antivirus software development firm that would contract out software designers to different companies like Norton and Malware and all those other places that make PC protection softwares. And so they needed their people to be up to date on all the stuff. So what you could do is you could go to their website and upload your hard drive to their server. They would go through and check it for any possible malware and then clean it and send you a fresh copy of your hard drive. And they would use it for data collection purposes. And so you'd have to waive the rights for them to see all your data, but they would go through and clean your PC completely.
I think I'd rather have a chip put in my neck.
I mean, some people don't keep that stuff on their computer.
I got you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you got like some kiddie porn dungeon type stuff going on, you don't want to do that. But
yeah, that folder labeled pornography, don't open that.
Oh, dude, the best troll, the best troll ever from like high school, like the 1990s high school days, is you would go to somebody's desktop and you would make a folder called horse porn. You'd scream. You would screenshot their background and save that as their new background. Or you screenshot their desktop, save that as their background, and then delete the folder. So they can see the folder, but it's not actually there because it's a picture. Jeremy knows. And then they get on the computer like, why can't I click on it? They would just lose their fucking minds. They're like, I have a virus. Then they'd have to go ask somebody how to get the horse porn off their computer. Oh, it's fucking great.
So
that was the best fucking prank.
Now you're taking me back. Like, so in my high school, like there was a computer in the library because that's where we got our first computer, right? Mm-hmm. And then computers started coming in the classroom, I don't know, about when I was a junior or senior, but not really. There was just a couple spots where you could get on an actual computer, except the computer lab. And a few of us jackasses would do dumb stuff, like you're saying. Mm-hmm. Like we figured out how to like change, you know, the initial startup password, put startup passwords on your computer, upload files that copied themselves and blow up your hard drives. Yeah. And there was no IT department for the school at the time. There was just the computer.
You knew more about
the
computers than the people.
Yeah, absolutely. That there. So we would do shit like that. Copy.
It was
paste.
An amazing time when the children. It was like the prisoners were running the prison.
The freedom we had. But yeah, I remember doing the. Yeah, you take a picture or get a copy of something, or someone made one and you stuck it in there, and then they couldn't figure out how to clear it. So what was even better is then they would ask me to come and fix the computer. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, it'll take me a while. So I just
and you just
lab.
Back there surfing the internet.
Yeah, just fuck around. Whatever.
Oh, yeah, let me fix it real quick. Press, like, Control 7. All right, I'll see you guys later.
Yeah, so then anytime anything we'd do to break the computer, they would ask us to come fix it. Okay, cool, whatever.
Oh, man, I could talk about this all day, but I feel like Aaron doesn't want to.
He's been podcasting see how long, all day. It's like a career choice.
See how long it takes Aaron to say a single word on the podcast.
Well, it's not starting immediately, so let's
He's abstaining. On. All right, fine. Let's get started. Aaron hates fun. It's his least favorite thing. He prefers dry toast and room temperature water is his favorite thing. I'm surprised that we got this far and you never said anything about the bet, but I understand that you honor the fact that we stopped all of the bets with
yeah.
how far in the hole you were. I respect that.
Yeah.
Now, I'm curious if I'll extend this olive branch because I think it's only fair.
Mm-hmm.
If you shave your head, I'm going to give you the 200 episodes in the positive. So you can have those free 200 episodes in the black and not be in the red anymore if you just got to shave your head now.
I see. So the idea is you are going to bring me back down to zero if
right.
I shave my head. But if
yeah.
I...
But so I'm with... Because we stopped it before the shocker bet.
Right.
So if you go through with your end of the agreement
mm-hmm.
that you've promised...
Mm-hmm.
That you will you'll just get the shocker bet added on the top.
Okay,
it's like the DraftKings $200 free bet that you get for signing up.
Yeah, this is a very fair deal, and I appreciate it.
Yeah. So it's see, let your accountant John know that I was this gracious and fair mm-hmm. that way, because I think he thinks that I'm mean to you for some reason.
Oh, why would he think that?
I don't know.
What a strange thing to imagine.
I mean, if there are any slights, obviously they're required of me because of the situation with you being this far in the hole. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be this mean to you.
Oh, I did things to myself, mm-hmm. faux show. But
oh, speaking of, do you remember when I sent you a random message this week?
Yeah, you.
I was so mad at you.
Oh, okay.
I sent you the $3 toll request for splitting up our tolls for uh-huh. going to Chicago, and you sent it. I sent it to you as a joke, because you remember what you said to me in the fucking car?
No.
Is clearly. I can't send you money on Cash App. I don't have anything linked to my Cash App account. And so I sent it to you as a joke, and you immediately sent the $3. Like, you fucking liar.
Oh. Okay, so this was what I said, and this is fine, because this was when we were in the car for like 16 hours, but...
Yeah, because like, you owe me money for gas, just send it to me on Cash App. I'll send you a request. I sent it to him. He's like, well, I can't send it on Cash App.
What?
I'm like, why is that? And he said, I don't have any way to add money to my Cash App.
Right.
And so when you sent me the $3, it opened up our account that had we've sent money. In fact, you've sent me over $400 on Cash App. Like, you fucking liar.
Okay, so I don't know why Cash App doesn't want my debit card anymore. My guess is my old debit card has expired.
That is generally how they work.
So I don't have a new one. I don't know where it is. So I can get a new one issued. That'll have to happen if I want to use it. But you sent me like $30 in Cash App for Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. I had $3 to give you in Cash App, in my balance on Cash App. I didn't have the money for gas. That's why I needed to give you cash for gas. So that was the full explanation. But it also helps me understand why you... But I think it says something about our relationship that you sent me a message that says, you dolt. And I went...
Mm-hmm.
I just immediately went, fun. I don't know what I did, but I bet it was wonderful. Like a...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was perfect. It actually made me, in a way, happy. But
in a way. Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah.
I've stopped sending you videos of people bending their knees backwards.
Yeah. Thanks.
Every time I find a video online of like so-and-so jumped off their roof onto their lawn as a joke, and you see them land and their knees just go backwards.
Oh.
So every time I see those, I send them to Parker, and he's like, please stop doing that.
Yeah. I don't have much Schadenfreude for physical damage like that, but it was.
Oh, I fucking love it.
I did see one the other day. I did see one the other day that I really liked, and it's any time anyone ever does something for the internet and it backfires immediately. Like if somebody wants to do like a stunt, like I go like, oh, that's a shame. You know, you racked yourself or you hit your shoulder. I don't appreciate that. But when somebody's like, watch me chug this thing really fast, and then he's like, and he immediately just starts choking.
It's 100% their fault, and they deserve what happened to them.
Right. It's not they're trying to do something athletic or interesting. They're just trying to do something dumb, and they didn't think about it. Like, that is funny.
Yeah, it's just like Jackass. It's like, that's the point. Yes. Is this person being stupid?
Yes. Yeah. But unlike Jackass, this person was going into it going, I got this. I could do this. And you're like, oh, no, you can't. This is terrible.
I've become incredibly cynical of those types of videos because I'm pretty sure it's like the mispronouncing words thing. Mm-hmm. A lot of them know exactly what they're doing, but they're doing it for the engagement. They're pretending that they don't know. And so I'm extreme, but I also have a really good judge for sincerity. So I'm very cynical on that stuff. And if I have any reason to believe it might be staged, I immediately lose interest in it.
Yeah.
Which is why I like the videos of people getting dramatically hurt, because you know those are serious.
Yeah.
Nobody gives up two MCLs and two ACLs for a joke. Nobody does that.
For a bit.
My favorite one is this guy. He looks exactly like James Pearson, the guy, a local person. He's dressed up. He's got that blue button-down shirt, khaki pants. Looks exactly like James when he's working. And he's standing on the top of a two-story split-level house. And his kids are down below him filming him on a camcorder. And they're like, jump! And they have a trampoline. And so he jumps the, like, 14 feet down onto the trampoline. And he locks his knees. Knees go back.
Oh, Jesus.
And he just screams the most hilarious, ah! His knees just explode. Oh. And he bounces off sideways and, like, face plants in the yard. And then he just, like, ah! And the video cuts off. Oh, my God, that one kills me. I've watched that probably 100 times. Oh, my God. I have a very dark sense of humor.
Yeah. Some people love the Schadenfreude, and I'm not saying you can't.
Oh boy. You guys are very low energy today.
I've been podcasting for 7 hours.
Okay. Is that good?
Apparently.
Jeremy, did you hear what happened?
No. What do you mean?
The candle store got robbed. They took every cent they had.
We haven't had one for a while. I kind of wondered if they were ever coming back.
Oh, wait till Jeremy listens to the special bonus episode.
Good.
Great.
All right, fine. We'll go ahead and wrap it up. Thanks for jumping on today, guys. I'm excited to see you guys tomorrow for games.
Mojoverse?
Oh yeah, we didn't. Why didn't you guys say something? I'm fucking blanking out.
Oh yeah, I thought.
Okay, so this week we're gonna do Mojo World is movie snacks, and so things you eat while you're watching movies. Parker, you get to go first because you had a perfect score last week on Mojoverse.
Okay, now I'm gonna go real white bread with this, like real standard
popcorn.
Yes. Now here's
comes the
thing. The
popcorn.
Here's the thing. I love popcorn, and I can't not have it. I don't know if you guess, but if I detect popcorn in a 2-mile radius by that amazing odor, like, I eat it. It doesn't matter how full
popcorn
I am.
Popcorn is weird for me. I never, ever think of just eating popcorn on my own.
Yeah.
But if it's there, I'm like, I could eat some popcorn.
I
don't want it. It's just fine. It's like potato chips. If somebody has plain Lay's potato chips, I'm like, I would never in my entire life have considered going to get Lay's potato chips. Mm-hmm. But if they're there, I was like, I'll eat some chips. Like, whatever.
There is always popcorn in my house. We eat popcorn weekly in my house.
Yeah.
Like, it is a thing. And I might lose this because I picked something so obvious.
I think a lot of people like popcorn.
Okay, I'm gonna
popcorn. Aaron, you're up.
Gummy snacks.
Gummy snacks. Like gummy worms?
Gummy worms, gummy bears, sour gummies. Yes.
He's taking
If I just put gummies, I think that
whole
have a category. Different meaning now. So
yeah, Nice. I get a whole category.
Sure. Put
of
the... gummy worms.
Worms. Okay. I was gonna put worms.
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna go with the obvious winner, Twizzlers.
Oh, it makes me so mad. Yeah. Hate you so much. Twizzlers, I've never hated anyone as much as I hate you.
Because you can eat, you can eat a sleeve of 2 pounds of Twizzlers by yourself in a movie theater, and you won't even feel bad about it. All right, Jeremy, you got your double dip.
All right, well, the number one is, and I'm convinced myself many times that peanut M&Ms are a meal.
You sons of bitches! How could you guys do this to me?
And then another one that I really enjoy is, and it is in the family of the Twizzler, but it is the Nibs.
God damn it!
Parker is never going to financially recover.
I've never been so mad.
I cannot wait
Mojoverse.
For Parker to get 0 votes after picking popcorn first. I know.
You guys have
he's
never
gonna be in there with like Milk Duds and Whoppers.
You've never. Nobody likes you guys, Whoppers. Okay. You guys have nobody systematically dismantled my list. Okay.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I can't even remember what I'm thinking about.
Oh my god. I cannot believe this. This is so. Ugh. Like, ugh, okay.
Ooh. I got completely derailed there. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, so my funny. Incredulity destroyed your train of thought. So mad.
I'm going to go with nerds. If I had to pick specifically, I'd probably say nerd clusters or nerds row. Mm-hmm. But anything with nerds is great during movies.
Unless you actually want to hear the movie, but okay.
I mean, you don't have to chew them.
Okay.
You suck on them. Let them dissolve in your mouth.
Mm.
He's going to hate my third pick, Pop Rocks.
Pop Rocks.
Aaron, you're up.
Mike and Ike's.
Ooh. Good choice.
I can taste this like right now.
You want me to just put you down for Whoppers?
No. There is one here that I didn't think you guys
Necco
would take.
Necco wafers.
Man, I'm...
Parker's like dry peanuts, I guess. Yeah.
I like hard tack. Do you guys ever had hard tack? No.
Granddad's hard tack.
Salt lick. One salt lick.
Yeah. I was like, okay, I'm going to go with Jelly Bellies. I love Jelly Bellies. Those okay. jelly beans, gourmet jelly beans. And my last one, you know what? I'm going to go with the only chocolate I appreciate, Snickers. Let's go with Snickers.
Do you actually eat Snickers during a movie?
Yeah, I've eaten Snickers during a movie.
Okay. That's just crazy to me. I would never even consider eating a candy bar at a movie.
Oh, really?
Because it's usually a candy bar is over so fast. You generally want something you can like munch on over time.
Well,
I don't know.
I like Snickers.
I'm also
for the
not
same
a chocolate
reason.
Person, so
I like Snickers for the same reason I like peanut M&Ms because they actually have some substance to them. I actually am not.
Yeah,
it's not just.
That's true. They do have like a little bit of protein, some actual caloric intake that isn't just pure sugar.
Yeah.
Okay, Aaron, we got your final pick.
This is going to require a little explanation, but. It's a Taco Bell Mexican pizza.
No, that we're not accepting that. That's not a movie snack.
No. You will accept it. So this is my wife and I, before we even dated, we were friends in high school. And I would sneak all kinds of shit in the movie theater. Like we would go to Taco Bell and I'd be like having a burrito down each pants leg. And she would carry her purse horizontal with the Mexican pizza in it. Like a tray into the movie theater because of course you can't eat the pizza if you tilt it, right? So the second we would get it, she would carry it in her purse horizontal all the way through until we got sat down, and then I'd take the horizontal or the Mexican pizza out of her purse and I'd have a Mexican pizza while we watch movies. It's amazing.
The answer is of course no, but
yeah,
I'm almost tempted to let him take it, and this is why. I'm really excited for everyone to guess that's mine. Like,
and not vote for it.
Like, yeah, and not vote for it. Like, what bullshit is Parker trying to play this
I
week?
Do feel like we're trying to save him from himself at this point.
With that background and story, how can you not accept it? That is...
That's...
quintessential.
Aaron, I need you to stop screaming and just listen for a second. I appreciate the story. It's a cute story. How often did you do this? You do this like three times, or like you did this every week for a year?
All
like,
throughout high school.
All throughout high school. Mm-hmm. They had movies when you were high school?
You can fuck. Yeah. Sit on a dick.
There was a guy. There you
go. I got him.
Hey, it was the same time I went. There was a gentleman playing a piano alongside.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's the guy in the back with the crank that made the picture move.
They had both country and Western movies.
Were the two men, the two oily, muscled men, like on the penny farthing bicycles moving back and forth?
I assume it was just they were watching a play with a strobe light over the top that made it look like it was a movie.
There's lots of ways they could do it. It was entertainment.
Yeah.
So next time you talk to next time you see my wife, ask her about Mexican pizzas in movie theaters.
Alright. He's not letting go, guys. Are we gonna veto this for him?
No, it's fine. Okay. I will vote to veto it if you guys care enough to. I'm over it at this point.
Yeah, let's let him have
it. My official vote is to veto.
I'm excited to hang himself with this one. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's let him.
I love how he does this to himself, and it's like, I can't believe nobody voted for me. Like,
you guys are gonna
why do people make fun of my selections? It's like, I don't know, Mr. Mexican Pizza.
I'm really excited. You guys scream into the ether when I win next week.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
I've already screamed enough for this topic.
Definitely going to clear all the votes right before we check it. I will not allow this to pass. Okay, so we got Twizzlers, Nerds. Man, we're just killing it over here. I think it's probably a bit of a bad manners to pick kettle corn, so I'm going to go with cotton candy.
Oh.
Although I will go fucking ham on some kettle corn. Kettle corn's delicious.
Yeah, it is good.
The sweet and salty. All right, so we got Jeremy, your final pick. Even though Jeremy really just copied me with the nibs. So
bullshit, dude. Those are two different things.
I get one third of Jeremy's votes. Is how that works.
They come in different packages. Anyway,
they come in different. I like the cherry flavored Twizzlers. You can get cherry, strawberry flavored Twizzlers.
Yeah. Nachos with hot nacho cheese and some jalapenos. That is fucking movie theater only kind of food.
Awesome. I was this close to taking nachos.
When I worked at a movie theater, that was like the entire reason I kept my job. Mm-hmm. I would just go, we'd watch movies and eat nachos for free. It was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, my honorable mention is kettle corn.
Mine is peach O's. Those are the fucking tits. Yeah. Peach O's or the Sour Patch Kids, which somebody chose gummy, mm-hmm. so I didn't choose that.
Sour Patch Kids are legit.
Raisinettes. Yep. Merciful God, those are good.
It's weird, like candy is such a weird topic because in my opinion, and I know a select few people agree, chocolate's really in its own category that's like not part of candy, but it is part of snacks. And so like when I think of candy, I don't think of chocolate at all. I also am not a huge fan of chocolate, so when people are like, oh man, what kind of candy do you like? I'm like, I like this. And they're like, I like, you know, Hershey's chocolate bar. I'm like, that, where you, what kind of person are you? That makes sense. Anyway, cool.
I had all kinds of honorable mentions, but you guys took them so goddamn fast.
Eight-piece KFC chicken.
Yeah. I like to take French dips into movie theaters, just dip my jus sandwiches, and just drip it into my face.
Prime rib.
just porterhouse steak. I bring in a microwave and an extension cord.
Rack of ribs.
My wife used to carry an entire duffel bag holding, and she would hold it directly upwards vertically, and she'd have an entire leg of lamb inside. And we would carry it in, and she would slowly spin it like a rotisserie, and I'd slice off and make myself a hero. That's one of my favorite. That's one of my favorite things to do.
I wasn't as extravagant. See, what I would do is I'd bring in a duffel bag full of coconuts and a hacksaw, and I would just saw the tops off of coconuts throughout the movie, and then clack them together, and we'd have cheers of coconuts.
That's a fresh pina coladas in your movie. I did that throughout.
We only brought the coconuts.
You probably did that throughout high school. Is what you did.
I did, I don't know how, if any of you guys, but camelbacks became a thing when I was in high school. Mm. And so if anyone isn't aware, it's basically a water bottle you wear as a backpack. And it's meant for hiking. But they made the decision to sell them to high school students that were going to movies. So we would just fill our camelbacks with, like, alcoholic drinks and go to a movie. And you sit there and drink all you wanted. And nobody would say anything to you if they thought you had a water bottle. So It was great.
Yeah, it is weird that those exist. I mean, yeah, just filling that with red wine is a thing. You're like, whoa.
So the third time I went to Adepticon, I brought 2 gallons of pre-mixed mojitos in a cooler. I would just top off the Camelback every 3 hours.
I didn't realize you had a Camelback of that shit.
I don't remember much of that Adepticon.
No, you were out of it.
Yeah. Anyway. I almost did this year. I was really thinking about taking the Camelback.
Don't worry, there's always next year.
Always next year. Alrighty. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys next time.